B-Pod Studios.
This is going to be a quick parenting podcast. We've got busy weekends ahead, so we're going to knock one out. And the gentleman I'm about to introduce you to, he's kind of, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to offend his beautiful wife, but he's kind of my work husband. But or better would be a work BFF, because we talk all the time, Pat George, about work stuff most of the time because we have a lot going on.
We're work brother stuff and sisters.
Okay, I like that better. Yeah. Then we don't make Amy or Doug angry.
Right.
Right. Okay, so Pat is on this parenting podcast, and I always talk about my daughter. That's my point of reference. She's younger. She's a toddler. So the show's kind of gone in a direction of babies. But I love having you on today because I'm just going to fire so many questions at you about parenting. And we talk about it a little bit, but you have two grown kids who are amazing. And we need to connect the dots here and see what happened, how your kids turned out to be so great. What did you guys do that was so special?
Well, let me back up a little bit, because you probably do not know this about me, but when I was 18, my parents passed away. And I had four brothers and sisters underneath
me. I do
me.
Know this about you. I do my research, Pat. I know that about you. I never ask you about it. But
so I became a parent at 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to conferences at schools, and I had to make sure that they were up in time for class every day, and I fed them every night. So I've been a parent for a long time. That's probably now why they've grown up and they've moved on. And I'm so good with my two kids now, because I've had the experience, and I've made some mistakes, and I haven't made those with my son and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, my daughter's 33. My son is, he'll be 22 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you got your crash course with your younger siblings. And I know you still take care of one of those siblings all the time, too.
You're good, it's been about
good big brother slash parent.
40 years now. Gosh.
So you have Austin.
Right.
And he is going to be 22. And Kate. And we don't have to say her age because she's a woman. And
she won't hear us right now because she's in Dallas.
Okay, you can say her age.
She's about 34.
34, okay. And they are lovely. They're bright. We'll get to Austin in just a minute. But I've met Kate one time, and she's a great mom now herself. She's a new mom. And she's the dream child. What every parent wants for their child is to grow up, have a nice relationship, have a family, and she's got a great career too. So what were some of the things you did with her? Maybe just some inherent traits she had that you let flourish.
I will tell you what I always did. I always had a lot of fun with them. I was always the crazy guy. I let them do whatever they wanted as long as it was safe.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to, like when she was young, if she went to the magazine rack and ripped it up, I let her do that when she was a baby, when she was crawling. As she got older, I was always very protective. I was either with her, watching her, and I always asked, where are you going? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very concerned all the time. And one of the other things is, and I think this is one of the most important things, as they got older, we never said, look it, and I hate seeing this on a television program or at someone's home. I hear this, can you go to your room now where your mom and I talk? I never did that with my kids, ever. If we couldn't pay the light bill, if we didn't have any money, and if we had to eat sparingly, they were always at the table and heard this. We kept nothing from them. Absolutely. They were always in the conversation, and their opinion was very important. And I many times my son would tell me, or my daughter, they'd say, you know, Dad, can we afford that steak this week? And I go, yeah, we can afford the steak.
That's interesting.
So I never, ever kept it. And if we had friends come over, they were always a part of it, hearing conversations.
I can't believe you're saying this right now, because I just had this issue, or had this thought, I should say, yesterday. I'm driving in the car with my daughter, and I'd been a little bit, you know, I came home and I was like, here, watch TV. She's watching TV now, so it is a great babysitter. It's like, watch TV while Mama has to take care of a couple things. And I had some certain work things I had to do, some health-related things. And so we got in the car, and I just started talking to her. Mind you, she's not two yet, but I'm like, listen, honey, Mama's been busy today. I've been distracted. I've had a lot on my mind. I'm just rattling off to her what's in my head, and the same thing almost that I would to a friend of mine if I was talking on the phone with a friend of mine. And so she's listening and nodding, and yeah, and she probably doesn't register most of it, but I feel like that's a good thing to do. And even we have a sick family member right now, and I was saying, you know, I'm worried about this person, and that's on my mind too, and we have to say a lot of prayers for her. And I thought, well, Roxanne, should you burden your child with the adult world kinds of things as you go through life? But I think then it makes it not so scary.
Not so scary at all. And they build, I think, compassion for those feelings and for other people.
Oh, I like that too. You're right. And both of your kids exhibit that extraordinarily.
My son, yes. He is such a kid against bullying.
Champion for the underdog. I knew you were going to say that.
Exactly. For the under. And he is always, always gravitating to little children to always kind of give them good direction, which he's probably got that from, you know, growing up in our family.
Right. So. Oh, my gosh. That is so true. So let's talk a little bit more about Austin. I'm so freaking proud of Austin. So I can't imagine how you must feel to have your grown son. He's going to protect our country and he is going to be at the highest level. Explain a little bit about the program he's been accepted into and that he's working through right now. It's unbelievable.
Well, he joined the Air Force when he was 17, and he wanted to go immediately into active duty. I wouldn't let him. I wanted him to go to college. He tried college. He hated it. He is a guy that has to have hands-on. He's got to be doing something all the time, and it wasn't enough in college. So he stayed in the reserve, and he applied to become an enlisted member in the TACP program, which is a tactical air support program where he actually calls in airplanes to the fight when people are on the ground and they need that support because they can't do anymore. So he'll be the guy with the radio on his back calling in what the commanders on the ground need for Marines, Army, whatever, through the Air Force. And what it does is it's just the Air Force talking to the pilots, because the Army or the Marines can't really talk to the Air Force pilots because they don't talk the same lingo.
Interesting.
So if he's on the ground, he knows that lingo. He finds out what they need. He's the middleman between a rifleman on the ground, or a foot soldier, and then I end a fighter plane.
Wow.
So he'll be doing that. But he's in training now for at least 84 days. He's supposed to graduate July 23rd, and it's intense training where it is nothing but physical fitness for the first half of the day, and then it's book work the second half of the day. So it's mind and brawn,
for
5 days a week minimum.
Well, that's cool. You've got both. I mean, that's perfect for Austin because he's exercising his body and his mind. He loves both of those things. One of the things that's always impressed me before that we've talked about is how he loves to read books. He's 18 years old and he doesn't want to be playing video games or he wants to be reading
books.
He
had a little spat with video games for about 2 years and then he was out of it. He just didn't want to do that anymore. And the other thing that he's, you know, you think he's all brawn because he's in the military and he's a tough guy. He loves comedies. He'll watch comedy because he loves the laugh.
He needs that balance.
Yeah,
sure.
He loves the laugh. So.
So what are your hopes for him? I mean, it's got to be scary and exciting, the position you're in right now as
his
dad.
My hopes right now is that he succeeds in the entire program, because if not, he'll be devastated. And I don't think, he doesn't have an alternate goal. That's the only goal he has.
Sure.
So my first and foremost is that he makes it through the program. And then he, when he goes out into the active world, it's not too active.
Mm-hmm.
Just an active enough for him, but not where he's going to be put in harm's way too much. Although I know that could happen. But
it's crazy, Pat, because I said this 1,000 times, but Austin is one of those people that I meet him and I've gotten to know him. And then it gives me, you know, I have some family members who've been in the military and I feel the same way about them. But I meet this young man and I'm like, oh my gosh, we have brave, incredible people protecting our country. And it gives me a sense of pride. So I know you feel that way. Okay, but not everything is perfect all the time. What about any mishaps you had when you were parenting and when they were growing up? I know you said you got that trial run with your siblings. Mm-hmm. And then with your two kids, with Kate and Austin, did you have any difficult time periods? Or what were some of your biggest challenges?
I'll tell you one with my daughter, because I divorced when my daughter was five.
Mm-hmm.
And then she moved to another state. And then it was her and her mom. And there was a time when my daughter turned 16 that her and her mom were just battling. And she would call me.
Oh,
and her
happens.
Mom would call me. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just a mother-daughter thing. It's a mother-daughter.
Right.
Mother-teenager-daughter thing.
And I was at loss what I was going to do about this, because I was so many miles away and I couldn't be there all the time. She couldn't come over and hang with me when she wanted. So I said, you know, I know you're mad at your mom right now, but there's going to be a day when you're going to wish that your mom was still around, and you're going to wish that you didn't have any of these arguments and this disrespect and the sad and mad things you say to her right now. You're going to wish you could take all those back. So, and I get emotional about this, but I said, you need to respect her, because she's not always going to be there. And you know, when I told her that, there was never, from 16, never another fight like that at all. Mm-hmm. There was an understanding. There was a respect.
And I have so much respect for you doing that as the divorced part of that group. So you have your ex-wife and you're sticking up for her. And a lot of times you probably could have taken the road where you just said, hey, you know, well, that's why we're not together anymore. And kind of seen eye to eye with her and acted like, all right, Kate, you have a partner in this.
No, that was never said to my daughter because I have a great ex-wife. She's a great mother, probably the best next to the wife I have now. Uh-huh. They're both perfect. They both get along.
I know. I love those stories. That's how it is in my family, too.
But my daughter recently, she said, Dad, I see why you and Mom got divorced, because they have disagreements now, and she sees some of her faults. And I go, look, that was her and I. That's not you and her.
Right.
You know, it's just a time that you guys are experiencing that hills and valley, and you're in a valley with your mom right now, mm-hmm. but it'll get better. And I hear both sides of the story. Her mom will call me and tell me, and I'll play dumb, and then she'll call and tell me. Mm-hmm. And we never exchange that with each other. When I talk to her mom, I keep it secret.
Right.
So I'm kind of the referee.
That is a constant theme. I think about my mom and, oh boy, did I give her challenges. I mean, I just was in my head. I always thought to myself that I was an adult. I just always remember feeling like an adult. So I wanted to be able to do everything that I thought I should be able to do as adults do. And that's not the case. You have to be a kid. You know, right. So my mom was protecting my youth, and I just wanted to grow up fast. But it is one of those things. And teenage girls, they're hormonal, they're crazy. So that's what happens. How is it that Amy, if you don't mind me asking this personal question, how is it that your current wife and your ex-wife have such a great relationship? How did that come about? Because that's a problem a lot of parents face when they get divorced, is trying to make those new blended sort of families work out.
That was an evolution. There was times it was rough. But my new wife knew she had no choice. My ex-wife was not going out of my life. She gave me my daughter. And you can't be close to somebody like that and then just throw them away, be angry at them and not want to talk to them ever again. You know, the relationship at times was very strained with my wife and I, my first wife. But we found a balance of both of them. And now at this date, they call and talk to each other because mm-hmm. my ex-wife now is losing her mother. And Amy, my new wife, is calling her every day and talking to her and trying to give her support.
Oh, my gosh. And because also the children are so close, your grown children.
Yes. There were times my daughter would say when she was growing up, why did you and Mom get divorced? You guys get along so great.
Not that she doesn't love your new wife and her stepmom, but she just looks at that dynamic you could have hung in there. But it happens. And you're young and you have another great relationship.
Well, my biggest problem was I never wanted to grow up. I always wanted to have fun.
See, you and I are opposite. See how we just described that? I thought I was an adult and you didn't want to grow up.
I did not want to grow up.
But it was thrust upon you.
Mm-hmm. My ex-wife to this day still calls me Peter Pan. So.
That's a good assessment. Okay, so my mom is a grandma now for the first time.
Bet she loves
and
that.
And in the past, you know, 3 years or so, she's become a grandmother, 4 years. And she loves it. And she's like, this is the best thing ever. Then I have another best friend of mine who I grew up with. She's my same age. She's a grandma because she had her daughter when she was really young.
Wow.
Now I'm really telling her. I told you I'm an old ass mom. So anyways, she's so happy. She's over the moon. She's like, this is the best thing ever, being a grandparent. And it's funny because you talk about two different people at totally different places in their life.
Right.
And they're just ecstatic over this experience. So I know it's pretty incredible. And now you've been experiencing that lately. It's been kind of fun because your granddaughter and my daughter are close to the same age, months apart.
Yes, I am a grandfather. But of course, my granddaughter lives where my daughter is, in Dallas, Texas.
So that's the hardest part.
That's very hard. As a matter of fact, my ex-wife was in Chicago. She couldn't handle it. She just moved to Dallas, mm-hmm. and she moved 1 mile from my daughter so she could be close. I would love to do that, but I'm so well established in the Bay Area.
That you are, Pat George.
Amy, you know, has got a great business here, and I'm well established. I'd love to move there, but there's absolutely no way you can start over and be successful, you know, at this period in your life.
Right. Right. That's it. That would be a tough. I mean, you could do it, Pat. I'm not saying you couldn't do it, but it's a tough thing to think about, to transition and leave everything,
right,
the life that you've built here.
So I try to go at least once a quarter,
perfect,
once every 3 months. And because of the way social media is now, you can, you know, we see faces of each other on screen every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to see in just a few days how different words pop up.
I know.
How quick they grow, how tall they are. My granddaughter had little lamb chops as legs. now they're getting long and thin.
I know.
And I see these in the pictures.
I know. They're stretching out. So you gave me a great idea, because when your granddaughter was born around the same time as mine, you said you did this thing with the kids. I thought it was so cool. Above their crib, where you put different pictures, different photographs.
A piece of plexiglass.
Explain this.
A piece of clear plexiglass over the screen, over the top of the bed, and you put the railings on it so it won't fall. And then you just put pictures of the family. You put different shapes. You put letters. And all they do, instead of looking up there and looking at a mobile, they're looking at their future as far as who's who, as far as, wow, I've seen that person before. I grew up looking at that person. There that person is.
That's so cool.
And when they go to school, they
really
see the shapes.
I know. So we kind of duplicated that in our household. We didn't do the plexiglass because we're not that handy, but we did just print up photos. Doug started it and puts them around her room. So she's got photos of all of her relatives
right,
just printed out around the room, boats, the sun, the moon. And the nice thing is she can look at them and say, hey, where's this? Where's that? Where's that? And she points to everything. It was before she could talk. Now she'll just shout them out. So it's fun to watch that progression. Well, we need to have another play date when your daughter comes into town next time.
That's
with our girls
soon.
Because they had a good time. I know. I can't wait. Thanks for hanging out with me, Pat George.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.